B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
He had a lot to do with a lot of Harold Carmichael's success. Ladies and gentlemen, on the line, making a special midweek appearance on the Farzetta and Trey show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ron Jaworski joins us now. Ron, your man Harold Carmichael in the Hall of Fame. Your reaction?
Yeah, it's been quite an amazing morning. When I got news early this morning, I've been pretty emotional. Harold's a special guy. And then just a moment ago, we got word that Steve Sable also got in the Hall of Fame. So it is absolutely incredible for pro football in Philadelphia. You have two amazing people to get in the Hall. And our next push is going to be for Dick Vermeil. So we got to get the coach in there. He deserves it. But, boy, I'm so happy for Harold and Steve Sable. Just been a very emotional morning.
Ron, I can't tell you how much I appreciate you calling in to the show to share your emotions, share your reaction to all this. And I just want to say this. As a younger guy, grew up in this area, I certainly didn't experience Harold Carmichael's career. But he is a tradition here in Philadelphia. He's a legacy here in Philadelphia. And then nationwide, as a guy that grew up being able to experience football through the eyes of Steve Sable and NFL films, that's something that not only I, but all other younger people should be extremely grateful for.
Yeah, I've been a very lucky guy to be close to those people. And, you know, when I came to Philadelphia in 77 from Los Angeles and, you know, be paired with a, you know, now a Hall of Fame wide receiver, and understanding what Harold was about for our team and the growth of our team in that era, his leadership, you know, not only his talent but his leadership was just amazing, and to be recognized now as a Hall of Famer, it means so much, not only to Harold but to every guy that played with him. You know, we feel part of his enshrinement into Canton, and it's just an awesome feeling. And you know, then I think of Steve Sable. You know, when I retired as a player in 1990, I was hired by NFL Films, and literally my office for 22 years since Steve's passing was maybe 50 feet from his office. You know, so every day he would peek his head in, and we would talk football, and I would learn about his side of the business, the TV business, the NFL Films business, while I was studying my football. And he was just an amazing guy, and I wouldn't say to work for, because with Steve, everyone worked with Steve. You know, he cared that much about people, he cared that much about the game. So, you know, me as a person, I am so much of a better person because of Harold Carmichael and Steve Sable. And I think everyone in this community who has been touched by those guys is better for it. They're just amazing people who are unselfish people, and this is due respect for what they've accomplished on the field and in the broadcast business. So I think the Hall of Fame got it right this time. As I said a moment ago, we got to get Coach Vermeil in as well. So that's the next thing that I know Sal Palin is already working on it already, because Sal is a great advocate for the guys that deserve to get in the Hall of Fame. So, you know, my phone was buzzing this morning about 6:15 from Sal Pal saying, let's get ready. We got to get Dick Vermeil in. We got these two guys in. So it's been a pretty remarkable morning.
Speaking with Ron Jaworski on the Comcast Business Hotline. Jaws, the other thing is you got traded here in 77, if memory serves me correctly. And Harold Carmichael was already established in the NFL. When you found out you were going to be coming here to Philadelphia, were you thinking about Harold Carmichael as a guy you'd be throwing passes to?
You're damn right I was. I mean, I still remember that Monday night game when the Rams came to Philadelphia. I think it was like 74. I think we won the game like 47-0. We crushed the Eagles.
Yeah.
But I remember in pregame warm-up, watching this number 17 run routes as a wide receiver. You know, it was like a Moses Malone power forward. You know, when you looked at Harold and said, oh man, look at this guy. Not only was Harold tall, but his fingers touched the ground. His arms were so long. His catch radius was absolutely incredible. And I remember watching him in a pregame warm-up, and then lo and behold, a couple years later, he's my teammate. So I was very fortunate to to literally inherit a Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Jaws, these guys are young, so they don't remember watching Harold get catches from Roman Gabriel, from John Shira, from yourself. But watching him when I was a kid, you know, people would just say, oh, he's 6'7", 6'8", whatever he was. But the grace and the athleticism and the speed, I never saw anybody catch a wide receiver screen before him. I don't remember anybody catching a fade before him. Did he kind of like become what would be NFL wide receivers, like invent some things for you guys to use NFL wide receivers for?
No question. And, you know, we used the bubble screens, you know, back in the 70s. Yeah, everyone thinks the football was invented last year. You know, those are things that, you know, we used back then. We used to run, you know, the fade, the alley-oop. And, you know, Harold would always get mad at me because we would spend the day before the game, like it was a Saturday for a Sunday game or a Sunday for a Monday game. When practice was over, we would go down to the end zone and work our way from the 10-yard in, throwing those fades and alley-oops. And we would spend literally a half hour after practice, just Harold and I, running that route because we knew the next day it was, you know, coach is going to call it, or I was going to call it, or we were going to audible to it, you know, to that fade. And, you know, Sid Gilman used to call it, meet me at the corner. So, you know, wherever Harold was, I would throw the ball to the pylon in the corner with some air under it, and he would just go up and take it away. And I really don't remember that play ever being stopped when we ran it. But when I say Harold got mad at me one time because each week we'd change up the signal where it'd be just an audible between, even if a running play was called, Harold and I would have an audible. I would either grab my face mask or I'd put my finger in my ear hole of my helmet. And that was an indicator that I was going to throw the fade to him. And he said, I remember telling me, Josh, every time I look in there and you're grabbing your face mask, you're putting your finger in the hole of your helmet, you got a smile on your face. That's tipping the secondary. I said, you're damn right, Harold, because I see when they press bump and run on you and you got a 5'8 Darryl Green on 6'7 Harold Carmichael, I'm throwing it to you, brother. So, but he got mad at me once.
I think I know the answer to this, but 6'8, today's day and age, what do you think Harold Carmichael will do in today's NFL?
Oh, my God. And the other thing you mentioned a moment ago, his speed. Harold could literally play anywhere. And he wasn't kind of a great 40-time guy. But when you would look at the tape of Harold, he would take two strides and cover 5 yards. So once he got going, he just ran by people. I mean, he was like a big old stallion running down the field once he got going. Now, he may have not been the quickest off the line, but once he got that big frame going, he was literally unstoppable. And you know, he was also, not only from a talent perspective, our leader, he was a very emotional guy. I used to almost you stay away from Harold pregame because he'd get himself so worked up going out on the field. I didn't want to get all worked up like he did. I tried to calm down a little bit, but Harold was also a very emotional team leader.
Have you spoken to Harold Carmichael since?
No, I have not. I left him a voicemail early this morning. I didn't realize he was up doing the NFL shows this morning.
So
I'm sure I will hear from him. He probably won't recognize my voice because I was crying as I was talking to him.
to wrap up a career where he's playing with the Eagles, and obviously he went to Dallas very briefly and hardly anyone even remembers it, but when you think about and you look back on your career with him and the times you guys spent together, is there a specific moment either on the field or off the field that really jumps out to you?
Yeah, you know, I mean, there are a lot of moments, but there's one that really stands out to me is, you know, and it's a win against the Dallas Cowboys, and it was at that Monday night game down in Dallas. And, you know, ever since Dick Vermeil had come to Philadelphia, you know, it was Dallas was a team we had to beat. They were a great football team, a great organization. If we knew if we were going to achieve greatness, we had to beat the Cowboys. And we're playing them on a Monday night, and we go with a short yardage play, and Harold's got an option route. And all week long, it turned out to be the option was a POCO, post-corner option as he's running the route, depending on how the corner plays. And I come off the play action, and I'm thinking corner. As I'm coming through my throw, Harold breaks the post. And I held on to the ball for just like a split second, and I read his move, and I threw it to the post, and we got a touchdown on it. And to me, that was a play that kind of resonated to me as the play that helped us beat the Dallas Cowboys. It wasn't the NFC Championship game. That was obviously a great win. Mm-hmm. But we had finally beaten the Cowboys down in Texas Stadium. And to me, that was the one that gave our team great confidence that we could play with anybody. And Harold certainly was a major player in that renaissance.
Did Tony Franklin kick a field goal, a big field goal in that game, Jaws? Am I remembering that right? Goal.
Correct, just before the half. Okay, and by the way, I was in the locker room. I had a slight concussion. I was listening to it in the locker room, and I came back and played the second half.
Jaws, last thing for you, and again, I appreciate you coming on with us. Just outside of the Hall of Fame conversation, is there one person that you're focusing in on that should take over as the offensive coordinator of the Eagles?
I have some thoughts, but I'll leave that up to Doug.
Are you going to be on a search committee?
I'll leave that up to Doug.
Jaws, I'll make you this promise, man. You know, as long as I'm here, even though it's a generation before me, legacies of yours, of Harold Carmichael and Steve Sable, of course, are something that will live on forever. And I promise you, I'll do whatever I can to keep those legacies going, my friend.
No, we appreciate that. And this is so cool, you know, not only for us that we're close to Steve and to Harold, but it's great for our community, you know. And I think it's just awesome that people are recognizing the greatness of these two men.
Absolutely. Ron Jaworski, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, Jaws.
Right, thank you, guys.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.